I fully believe that when we gather for worship, particularly at communion time, we can expect God to have such an impact upon our lives that in a very real sense, they're never the same. Today is certainly no exception as we deal with one of the great passages of Scripture. And I would invite you to pray with me now as we ask the Holy Spirit to interpret for us these miraculous words where Jesus says, "I am the living bread. And if anyone eats of this bread, he or she will live forever." Would you bow in prayer with me? Our Father, we are becoming increasingly aware of the fact that when you said you made us in your image, that made it evident that we were created to have a relationship with you, and that as a person, in fact, as life itself, we will never have the luster and the fullness and the abundance until we make you the focal point in our life, until you are our most important relationship, our most priceless treasure. Therefore, I pray that as we study this scripture, indeed everyone will be led to eat of Jesus as the living bread in a way we never have before. In his name we pray, amen. This morning I want to talk about hungry hearts or heartaches, a subject that reminded me of a gospel song that I learned as a very small child, probably long before I even knew what a heartache was all about. And it went, "Heartaches, take them all to Jesus, and he will take your heartaches all away." There's a profound truth in that ancient song. Aching hearts come in all sizes and shapes, causing very deep and very almost incredible pain inside of our hearts, that place where we feel things. Heartaches are triggered by a myriad of sources. Loss of a loved one certainly plagues some of you as you sit here today, but you've never been able to really let go and learn to live without that one that you love so much. They can be caused by guilt over what we did or didn't do, feelings of failure, feelings of loneliness. Perhaps we could put heartaches into that one large general basket of saying it's like an emptiness inside that no one else in the world can really touch or understand. Related to heartaches are questions. Lloyd Ogilvie beautifully articulates some when he writes, "The more I've thought about the heartaches we all endure, the more I'm pressed to ask why. Are they just a part of being human? Or daring to care?" And that's led to a deeper question, where is God when my heart aches? Doesn't he care? And if he does, why doesn't he take it away? Have you ever found yourself asking those kinds of questions? Some of us are asking them right now. And Jesus comes on this communion Sunday saying, "I care. And I care about you. I have food for your aching, hungry heart. And if you'll trust me enough, I'll feed you." Here is his answer to agony within our souls when he writes in the 35th verse, "I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." I wonder, do we really believe that claim of Jesus? Our Lord has just ministered to a multitude of people. He sensed their hunger, and he miraculously filled their stomachs with physical food. But his purpose was to set a stage for all time to help us who want to follow him to understand this profound strategic truth of the gospel. Physical bread of the world will never feed our souls. As human beings, we need something or someone more. Now, as usual, the people misunderstood his miracle, thinking that he had the magical power to continually feed their stomachs in a hungry world. They were ready to make him king. And that broke the heart of Jesus. He wants to be king, but not as king of our physical appetite. He is not here just to make our 70 years on earth a ball. He is not here to help us simply find wholeness in this life. And that's why he had to say to them and to us in the 27th verse, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Don't labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you." And then in the 51st verse, he reemphasizes that truth when he says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." And this morning as we prepare for communion, I want to ask you, what bread are you eating? How are you satisfying the hunger in your soul? Of which table are you a part? The table of the world or the table of Christ? And then another question. Have you ever considered that your aching heart, your soul hunger this morning, may be a priceless gift of God to you? Proof that you were created with needs that He alone can satisfy? A warning that perhaps, like hidden hunger we call when we're studying vitamins, how our body can be undernourished even though we're seated to three meals a day because we're not getting vitamins? Could it not be that Jesus holds up that same warning, saying that if you are feeding your souls with the fodder of the world, you're spiritually undernourished. And the symptoms will be heartaches, like stomach aches when we're hungry, because something is in Christ's place in your life. Unfortunately, many of us spend a lifetime filling that Christ-shaped vacuum within every heart with something less than Jesus. And I need to ask, is that what you're doing today? Like the crowd who sought to keep Jesus around so he could fill their stomachs with physical bread, many of us fall into the same trap. We like to keep Jesus around. We patronize the church because then he'll help us do better in business and he'll keep us physically well. He'll bless our marriage and above all, he'll keep us happy. We like him to feed the human, material, fleshy part of us. And when we have symptoms of soul hunger, interestingly enough, we bring these symptoms to Jesus and say, "Lord, fix it." Rather than saying, "Jesus, these are my symptoms, but I know there's something deeper. I need you." A dear doctor friend, after the first hour, came up to me and told me a story that seems to fit here. He was saying how his son the other day told him a message as a father that he'll never forget. He was giving him a half a day and he was just saying, "Luke, today is your day. What do you want? Can I fix your bike? Can we do this? Can we do that? Can we go buy something?" And this little guy had enough profundity to say, "Dad, I don't want you to fix my bike. And I don't want to go shopping. You're a busy guy. I just want you, Dad." You know, so often we forget that that's the message of Jesus to us this morning. We'll give him Jesus our time. We'll go work in the church. We'll go out and support our family thinking that's the Christian thing to do. And we get all busy chasing this merry-go-round of activities, which are all good if in balance. But we forget the most important thing Jesus wants from us in response to his table. He wants us to want him. How few Christians relate to Jesus in friendship, as a brother, enjoying him, his presence, his fellowship, and asking him, "Jesus, just feed me. All I want is you. I don't want you to give me things of this world and then I shake your hand and say thank you. I just want you." You know, when we say that, that's almost a foreign language in this church. Are not most of our prayers to Jesus asking for his blessings upon the flesh pots of the world, whatever they be, to keep us happy and fulfilled and wealthy and healthy? And then we wonder why we have heartaches. And why we have a vacuum inside in spite of our success and our wealth, and we've reached the end of the rainbow, and again we've said so often, the pot's empty, and we wonder why. And the answer is, we've put other things in the pot beside Jesus. And we want His gifts, but we don't want Him. And He wants us to want Him, and then He'll give us His gifts. You see, our soul hunger is often disguised with symptoms you and I have this morning. That drive for success, loneliness, an inability to get over grief, greed for money, sexual promiscuity, physical ailments, misuse of alcohol and drugs, and so goes the list. We have all of these symptoms that tell us one loud message: something or someone is in that place in our life where Jesus belongs. And as a result, we have soul hunger. You know, one of the mistakes that most of us make, even in our loving of others, husband, wife, children, friend, we often love them more and depend upon them more than we do Jesus. We deify them. They're ahead in our value judgments, in our priorities, than Jesus. And then we wonder why we're insecure. We're frightened that they might die, that they might get hurt. Or if they do, we don't get over the grief. Why? Because we let someone or something slip into that place where Jesus belongs. And so before Jesus can deal with our heartaches, He needs to give us this bold diagnosis of the cause. And now He highlights the answer. I am the living bread, nothing else. Apart from Jesus, there is no way to feed our souls with a relationship with God, with trust, with intimacy, and with love. And those of us who have looked everywhere else and tried everything else, we can even reach a point where we wonder, does soul food even exist? We're always hungry and we come to communion, and sometimes this doesn't even touch us. Why? Because we don't expect it to. And because someone else or something else is in the stomach, in the place where Jesus belongs. And so the table's message cannot get through. I offer to you this morning, without Jesus, there is no life, with a capital L. A basic cause of heartaches is our separation from God. And if you can receive this, I would offer that every heartache, everything that's robbing you of living life as it was meant to be lived, can be traced to our refusal to feed on Jesus as the bread of life. And we turn to the flesh of the world to feed on instead. Therefore, I come back to my first premise. Your heartache might be one of God's most precious gifts to you. Suppose we never became physically hungry. We could starve to death. Heartaches are an indication that your soul is hungry and that God wants you to nourish yourself something that has spiritual vitamins in it, the living bread. A couple with a sick marriage said, "We're glad we went through the heartache. It got us to the end of ourselves. The hurt became so bad we had to do something. And now we know it was the Lord who used the heartache to help us realize how empty our lives had become." And so a key question emerges. How do we eat of the living bread? How do you feed your soul hunger this morning? John's Gospel teaches that to eat of the bread is to believe in Jesus, to believe that He's enough. Interestingly, in the Gospel of John, belief is an active verb. It's associated with following and drinking and doing. So let me suggest, this morning in communion, we have opportunity to act out our belief that Jesus is enough. This can become a time of repentance. We can leave whatever else we've been feeding on to satisfy our souls, and turn to His table and to Jesus and say, "Jesus, with sorrow and repentance and needing your strength, I turn from this addiction which can never satisfy. It can give momentary highs and long-term lows. I'm going to turn from that, and I turn to you. And I trust you. I believe that you are the Son of God, and that you alone can feed my soul. The psalmist prophetically says, "For he satisfies him who is thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things." I can't think of a greater moment of decision, a more important hour in your life, than to come to worship this morning, stand in front of a table that will matter something 1,000 years from now to you, and to let go of things that won't matter 10 days or 10 years from now to you, and turn to Jesus, the living bread. At that point, you can grow into a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And your heartaches can become a blessing. You can begin to live life with a capital L. Christ is Lord. And there is no position that you're seeking, no recognition, no financial security that can fill your emptiness this morning but Him. Isaiah asks a question, and just before communion, I want to ask you. And maybe the Spirit can speak to you right now through this. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which does not satisfy? This doesn't mean we stop working. It doesn't mean that we don't live in the world. It's a call to priorities and to put Jesus at the top, give Him full bore of our lives, take time for a relationship with Him as a person and not as a doctrine and not as a philosophy. And when that happens, all these other things will be added unto us. You know, this morning Jesus calls us to a risk, but it's not really a risk, it just is in our eyes, of letting go of the things we can see and feel and grabbing unto Him who feeds our spirit. And at that point we begin to cease being like a child. I thought of this during the sermon preparation. Our children had these puzzles that were solid boards, and they had animals cut out of them, and they had little knobs on them, and very young children try to place the right animal in the right hole. That's when they're very young, and they get very happy when they finally can match them up. And I thought, you know, as grown-up Christians, often we're like that. We're trying to put the elephant where the bunny fits, and we twist and we turn, and we're always kind of on the move in our Christian life, but never getting there because we're trying to put something less than Jesus where Jesus fits. And we'll always be out of kilter. Our value system will always be off center. Our moral values will be somewhat polluted. Our souls will be empty. And so very simply this morning, take the living bread, eat it, put Him where He belongs in your life. There are some traditions that state we should have communion every Sunday. Sometimes I wish we did, because we need this reminder constantly that Jesus is the bread of life. Look at verse 27. It is the verse 63 and 64. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. We go now to communion. I ask you, give Jesus a chance to be all that He wants to be. Eat and drink. And in that spirit, let Jesus take your heartaches all away. Paul the Apostle said that I give you that which is of first importance, how the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had broken it, He said, "This bread is my body broken for you. Eat it in remembrance of me." And after the same manner also, he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, drink ye all of it. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you do show forth the Lord's death. Or for this morning, we show forth the Lord's life in us, that we're willing to eat of the living bread and turn from everything that's less than him. Would you bow with me in prayer as we ask God's blessing upon these elements? Our Father, take now these elements from their common use, and through the miracle of your Holy Spirit, make them the body and the blood of Jesus. May we be able to feed on him and thus find life. Make this a time of repentance, of renewal, of new beginnings for us who are spending our time and our money on that which is less than Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.